So let's talk about some of your cases beginning, and we can just, you know, kind of summarize what you think the key teaching point was related to the case. We don't have to go through everything, but I think the amount of information you have here is about right. So let's start out with your 49-year-old man with CLL.
Right. So he initially presented with small volume adenopathy without a big white count. Really nice, you know, relatively anxious guy, sort of your typical early stage CLL patient. And he had unmutated heavy chain genes, which becomes important in this situation. And we followed him for a number of years, and his white count was never terribly high. It was in the 30, 40,000 range. But he had incredible tonsillar involvement and neck nodes to the point where he developed frank sleep apnea, and his airway was incredibly narrowed. So we actually treated him on that basis. Given that he was well under 65, we treated him with FCR, given this was a number of years ago. It was, 2005? It was when he first presented, and we started treating him in 2013.
Could I just ask you, you know, it's, when you talk about, you know, airway narrowing, it's starting to sound a little scary.
Yeah.
When you saw him from the beginning.
Right.
When you saw that happening, did you kind of, like, think, I wish I'd treated him earlier?
Well, he wasn't terribly symptomatic other than, you know, the snoring, and I was starting to get nervous, so I treated him earlier. If he hadn't had that, I would have definitely waited significantly longer, but it was sort of preemptively.
And this is from adenopathy?
Adenopathy and I think tonsillar and adenoid enlargement. His tonsils were, you know, opposed at the back of his airway. It was pretty impressive.
So he got FCR?
So he got FCR, which he tolerated extremely well, and it just, his disease melted away, but it was back within 2 years. So it was really, you know, sort of in keeping with someone who was unmutated, and he knew that this was not going to be curative therapy.
Could I just backtrack a little bit there in terms of your decision? And it is a basic question, but it's always, I like getting people's view on it, in terms of FCR versus ibrutinib in a patient like this today. Still go with FCR?
I would still go with FCR, though I know that even within my own group where we have two CLL experts who do a lot of the clinical trials, they disagree. One of them would give FCR and say, well, we don't know the long-term outcomes in ibrutinib. There are some patients, even in unmutated setting, who are going to do well for 4 or 5 years. I would do that first and then go to ibrutinib second line, whereas the other colleague would say, you know, FCR is toxic. It can cause, you know, stem cell damage, MDS. Why expose someone to that if you know that they're not going to have a long-term remission? And, you know, I think I could go either way. But in someone as young as this, I think I would still, at this point, give FCR, though we have a trial that is combining the two, ibrutinib plus FCR, which I think is a really interesting study. And it gives option for patients to come off after 2 years of ibrutinib if they are MRD negative. So I think that is a really interesting approach.
From a clinical perspective, when you see a patient who's getting an FCR up front, mutated, non-mutated, what kind of outcome are you looking at over the next 5 years?
So for the unmutated patients, I would think clearly more than half are going to be relapsing before 5 years, whereas the patients who are mutated, the data from MD Anderson suggests that there may be a subset of patients who are cured. You know, I think we need to follow patients for a very long time to know that, but there are patients 10, 15 years out who still haven't recurred. So the unmutated clearly associated with inferior PFS.
So this patient relapsed, and at that point, I would assume that off protocol, you would have been thinking ibrutinib?
Right, exactly.
And I see that actually he went on a protocol.
He went on a protocol.
What was the protocol?
So he's getting ibrutinib and obinutuzumab.
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, has ibrutinib been looked at with rituximab?
I'm sure it must have been, but no major publications, yeah.